Okay. Chet Meraglim, Chazal tell us, is a chet that repeats itself over and over, over Jewish history. And we know that it happened on Tisha B'Av, and that that was the cause of the first Galut and the second Galut. And the question is, what was Chet Meraglim? If you look in the Perushim, you see a lot of different commentaries. And I always prefer to let the Tanakh explain itself. Because if you look at the page which with the heading Chet Meraglim, the Tanakh, David HaMelech, who is at least as important as Rashi or Radak, David HaMelech tells us what was Chet Meraglim. In Tehilim Perek Kuvav, Bichal, that's a good perek to know. In that perek, the David HaMelech explains a lot of things that were going on in the Sefer Shmot, Sefer Bamidbar. So he really adds Perush. And he tells us, Perek Kuvav Pasuk Kavdalid in Tehilim, Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. They were disgusted with the beloved land, Lo haminu lidvaro, and they didn't believe in Hashem that he would help us conquer the land. And there are really two points here. The second point is something that Rashi brings down, and it's, I think, the most common commentary, that they didn't believe that Hashem would help us conquer Eretz Yisrael. But the first part of the pasuk, vayim asu be'eretz chemda, that they were disgusted with Eretz Yisrael, they were disgusted with the beloved land, is very interesting, because that, every time Eretz Yisrael comes up on the agenda, throughout Jewish history, until this very day, we see that most of the Jews don't want to make Aliyah. I saw just on Friday, on Erev Shabbat, there was a rabbi in Brooklyn, who was talking about, he really sounded like full of despair. He said, oh, we've been hit so hard by Corona, and then finally when we can begin leaving, and we can begin opening up shuls, so now they have the riots, especially in New York, and he says, I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message that we should be living in Israel. But then he says, but I don't have the guts to make the move. And, you know, that's a very common excuse. And without a doubt, for sure, the easiest way to do it is like I did, and like Molly and Rina are doing. Maybe Dina, you could follow up. To make Aliyah at the age of 18, 19 is so much easier. You know, where you learn the language, and you learn even going to university and learning in Hebrew, you know, it makes your mother tongue that much in your mikzoa, in your field, is Hebrew. Anyway, we're going to deal with a very interesting question. Let's look together in the second source. I'm sorry I didn't number it. Rashi in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, says, who are the Meraglim? Oh, shalom. Who are the Meraglim? Kulam Anashim, Kol Anashim Shebamikra Lashon Chashivut, Ve'ota Sha'a Ksherim Hayu. The Meraglim were kosher people. As a matter of fact, Midrash Tanchuma and Bamidbar Rabbah, they both say that the Meraglim were Tzadikim. They were all of the caliber of Yoshua bin Nun and Kalev ben Yefuneh. And even they were choteh with the sin of Vimasu Be'eretz Chemda. They were disgusted with the beloved land. Now there's a very interesting Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, who writes something that I wouldn't dare say, but the Rush is the Rush. He could say anything that he wants. He points out, let's look in Source 3, where in Sefer Shmot, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Mem Aleph, it says, Vayhi miketz 30 shana, v'arba meot shana, vayhi be'etzem hayom hazeh, yatzu kol tzivot Hashem mi'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm sure you all remember that there is an apparent contradiction, that on the one hand it says that Bnei Yisrael were 210 years in Egypt, And then we have this pasuk that says 430 years. And then the next source in Breishit Tedvav Yud Gimel, Vayomer Avram Yadua Tida Ki Ger Yazaracha Beretz Lo Lahem, Vavadum Ve'inu Otam Arba Me'ot Shana. Here we have 400 years they were in Egypt. So Chazal explain that the 30-year discrepancy was that Brit Ben Abitarim was when Avram was 70 years old. And then the second way of counting it is from when Avram Avinu was 100 years old. So one is 430, the other is 400, and that's the 30-year discrepancy, right? You probably remember this from Rashi. What's the problem? The Rosh HaMesechet Yevamot, Dav Samach Dalid, points out that Brit Ben Abitarim was in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Avram Avinu, at the age of 70, at Brit Ben Abitarim, 30 years before Yitzhak was born, Avram Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael. And if so, why do we find afterwards, in the next pasuk that I brought, in Breishit Yud Bet, pasuk Dalid, Vayelech Avram kasher deber elav Hashem, Vayelech itolot, Ve'avram ben chamesh shanim ve'shivim shana batzeito mi'charan. How does Avraham go on Aliyah at the age of 75 if he was already in Eretz Yisrael at the age of 70? Do you all see the difficulty? So the Rush, you don't have it on your sheets, but I'll just read it for you. Rabbeinu Asher says, oh, where's the sheet? Here we go. Uma shelo alta l'Avraham yeshivat chutz la'aretz lefi sheziva lo amakom lech lecha mi'artzecha el aretz asher areka v'nit'atzel v'lo halach. Avram Avinu did not make Aliyah when he was told lech lecha. Ve'av achar sheba l'aretz Yisrael, even after he came to Eretz Yisrael, chazar limkomo. Sharei bebrit ben abtarim aya Avram ben shivim shana. And then, again, like we just saw, he was told and he made Aliyah at the age of 75. If so, Avram Avinu, even though Chazal tell us that Avram had 10 tests, Asaran Nisyonot, and that he passed all of the tests, the Rush figures out, and he says, maybe the Torah didn't want to say explicitly out of Kavod for Avraham, but he did not pass the test of Lech Lecha, because he was in Eretz Yisrael, and then he left, then he had to be told to come again. When was the next time that the Jews were supposed to make Aliyah? It was from Egypt. And Chazal tell us in the Midrash that 4/5 of Bnei Yisrael were punished in Makat Choshech. You remember that? Why? Because they didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it quietly in Choshech, so that Am Yisrael should not be embarrassed from the Egyptians. But again, they didn't want to come. Only 1/5 wanted to make Aliyah. Now, what happened in the next generation was the Chet HaMeraglim, where here also, again, Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. And I remember when my father, when I was a kid, you know, when kids are in a bad mood, they just say, no, 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 I don't. You know, and your father wants to give you want to go to the circus? No, no, I don't. And the punishment is, you don't want to, is nisht. They say in Yiddish, you don't want to go to the circus, so you won't go to the circus. And that was the punishment also for Bnei Yisrael, who did not want to go to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what your punishment is? You won't go to Eretz Yisrael. You will be missing out on the mitzvah, on the greatest land. And it's a natural outcome of what they did. Now, I would have thought that if the grandparents, most of the grandparents died because they didn't want to make Aliyah from Egypt, and then the parents, most of that, just about the entire generation died again because they didn't want to make Aliyah, I would think that at least the grandchildren would learn the lesson, right? Wrong. The grandchildren, let us see, in Rashi, Dvarim, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Shalom Bella, Bruchim Abaim. We're talking about Cheta Meraglim. So we see that whenever Israel comes on the agenda, Am Yisrael doesn't want to come. And again, the grandfathers didn't want to come from Egypt. Their children didn't want to come in Cheta Meraglim. And also the grandchildren. Rashi brings down in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Zayin of Sefer Dvarim, Ki ata tavo et ha'am hazeh. Obviously, it should say, Ki ata tavi. Yoshua is being told, you shall bring the people to Israel. Why does it say, ata tavo? You will have to go back and forth and back and forth 600,000 times to convince them to come into Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar li Yoshua, Ki ata tavi et bnei Yisrael el ha'aretz asher nishbati lahem. You will bring them, not Moshe. But what does it mean, Tavi? Tavi al korcham. You are going to have to schlep the Jews and physically drag them into Eretz Yisrael because they don't want to come. Hakol talui bechad, all depends on you. Tol makel vehach al kodkodam. Take a staff and beat them over the head and force them to come into Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, what's so bad about Eretz Yisrael that nobody wants to come? And the same thing happened. When was the next time that Eretz Yisrael came on the agenda? Remember the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, where only 42,000 came. And they had Nevi'im, and they were told that Galut was only going to be 70 years. You know, sometimes people say, you know, if we would have a Navi today telling all the Jews to make Aliyah, everyone would go. We see in Ezra and Nehemiah, they had Nevi'im, and the Jews still didn't want to go. And that's the Gemara Masechet Yoma that we learned together, Daftet Amud Bet. And again, the question is, why not? What's so bad about living in Eretz Yisrael? And Davka Tzadikim also have a problem with Eretz Yisrael. Now, I would have thought that, at least in the final Aliyah, Uval Tzion Verina. Halavai, at least in the last Aliyah in Yemot HaMashiach, will all come gladly to Eretz Yisrael, right? Wrong again. We look at most of the Jews in Israel today were brought against their will. Either they were running away from pogroms, running away from the Holocaust, running away from the Arab countries in 48, running away from Russia, which collapsed, running away from Ethiopia. And the Jews who are coming out of Ideal, it's about 3,000 a year, make Aliyah from America. And that is not a high percentage if there are 5 million Jews in America. And again, it seems like we're failing the test. And Chazal tell us that this is the way it's going to be, that even in the final return, even in Yemot HaMashiach, the Jews are not going to want to make Aliyah. Let's look together. I brought for you from Rashi, in Devarim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Gimel, on the Pasuk, V'shav Hashem Elokecha ve'et shvutcha. Here also, it should say, V'heshiv. God will bring us back to the land of Israel. Why does it say, V'shav, God himself, again, as if he will have to drag each and every Jew by his hair and drag them to Eretz Yisrael. Look at the two lines from the bottom. Va'od yesh lomar, shegadol yom kibbutz galiyot. Kibbutz galiyot is a great event, ubekoshi, but it's going to be difficult. Ki'ilu hu atzmo, as if God Almighty himself, tzarich liyot ochez biyadav mamash ish ish mimkomo, kinyan she'ne'emar v'atem tuluktu le'echad echad bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to drag us one by one to Eretz Yisrael. You'll know, I think we mentioned once on this year, Rav Yisachar Teichtel from the Sefer Ema Banim Smecha. Have you heard of the Sefer Ema Banim Smecha?
So, I just started learning that.
Kol HaKavod, Kol HaKavod. Rav Yisachar Teichtel was one of the Gedolei Aposkim, one of the Gedolei Ador in Hungary before the Holocaust. And he was a strong anti-Zionist. And he said, we're not supposed to make Aliyah until the Mashiach comes. And then after the Nazis invaded Hungary, he had to go into hiding. And he did a 180-degree turnaround. He wrote a 400-page book with more than 1,000 sources to become a religious Zionist. And he writes in his introduction, it's on page 20, he writes, and if you should ask, why was I such an anti-Zionist before? Hurry, all these sources I knew beforehand, right? He's writing the Sefer, he's writing from his hiding place, and every other page he writes, I apologize if I'm not quoting exactly because I'm writing the book Baal Peh. You see, he was an unbelievable Talmid Chacham, he's writing the whole Sefer by heart, but he knew all these sources beforehand. So why was he an anti-Zionist? He says, I was caught up in Chet HaMeraglim. And he says that it's so common that even great rabbis, just like the Meraglim were tzaddikim, they get stuck in the Chet of Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. They don't want to make Aliyah. Now, if you jump for a second to the other page that I sent you, that it says on the top, Derishat Zion, you'll see in source number 4, where the Vilna Gaon says the exact same thing. The Vilna Gaon is writing 200 years ago, Ubavonotenu arabim rabim emachotim chet gadol shel vayimasu be'eretz chemda. So many people are repeating the chet ha-meraglim. Gam rabim mitofsei ha-torah, even very religious Jews, lo yadu velo yavinu shenitfasu bechet ha-meraglim. They don't realize that they're just repeating the same sin of the meraglim. Nischefu beklipat chet ha-meraglim b'chol minei svarot kozvot. He says they look for all these different excuses, thinking that maybe Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah bezman hazeh. And then he says, what do you mean? That opinion was rejected hundreds of years ago. And if so, why don't they come? He says it's chet ha-meraglim, but that doesn't explain why is there chet ha-meraglim, right? The Kuzari, by the way, it's very interesting. Sefer HaKuzari, did any of you learn Kuzari? Do you have a shiur in Kuzari? You should definitely cover the book from cover to cover. That the Vilna Gaon said that it is the book to understand Jewish philosophy. What is Judaism about? And what's good is it's written that today there's a modern Hebrew translation. And it's written in simple question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. There are, I never counted, I think more than 1,000 questions, and answer, question, answer, question, answer. And then there's a place where Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is asked a question, and he doesn't have an answer. What is the question? Let's look in source number 5, the Sefer HaKuzari Ma'amar Bet, Si'if Kav Gimel. The king asked the rabbi, after the rabbi had extolled living in Eretz Yisrael is equated with the rest of the mitzvot, and it's such a great mitzvah, and it's such an important thing, and it brings you on a higher spiritual level, and Kedusha, etc., etc., etc. Asked the king, Im ken alo over atal mitzvah mechuyevet lefi toratcha, imencha ole lamakom ahu? In other words, what are you doing here in the land of the Khazars? If you're such a big talker, why don't you make aliyah? If it's so important to live in Israel, just do it. As they say in the Nike commercials, just do it. And that's interesting. Because again, the book is question, answer, question, answer. And then all of a sudden, there is one question to which the rabbi doesn't have an answer. What does he say? Achen matzata makom cherpati melech kuzar. You have found my point of embarrassment. You're right. And according to tradition, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi himself tried making Aliyah. At the end of his life, maybe you heard, there's a legend, I don't know how documented it is, that when Rabbi Yehuda Halevi came to Eretz Yisrael, he bent down to kiss the earth of Eretz Yisrael, and he was trampled by an Arab on a camel. But again, here's a question without an answer. why is Eretz Yisrael so problematic? And now we have gotten to the answer. Chevra, you all know that in the Beit Midrash, the best way to answer a difficult question is with a question. And I'm going to bring you three questions. Three direct contradictions within Chazal about the Meraglim. And it's going to help us understand Chet HaMeraglim. Chevra, do you remember that there's one Midrash that says, Rashi brings down that the 10 spies who did not want to come to Eretz Yisrael, they schlepped the big fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the monstrous fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and Yoshua and Kalev did not want to bring fruit. On the other hand, if you look at Midrash Rabbah, there is a contradicting Midrash, which says that Davka, Yoshua and Kalev brought the fruit, and the other 10 did not want to bring the fruit. A head-on collision. Now, we mentioned before that Chazal tell us that the Meraglim were tzaddikim. On the other hand, there's a Midrash that tells us that they sinned even before they left. They left the Derech, and they were mitkalkel. Even before they came to Eretz Yisrael, they were Rishaim. So I don't understand. Are they tzaddikim or Rishaim? Another contradiction. And then a third contradiction. It says in the Zohar that the problem that the Meraglim had with Eretz Yisrael was that it was too chumri. It was too gashmi. The land has these monstrous fruits, and they enjoyed learning in the kolel, the super kolel of the midbar, the desert, where you didn't have to work for a living. You didn't have to serve in the army. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided water and man and slav and the Amud HaEsh, Amud HaAnan. And they thought that by coming to Eretz Yisrael, they will sink spiritually because they're going to have to start working the land and serving in the army. That is one place in the Zohar. On the other hand, there is another place in the Zohar which says the opposite. That said that their problem with Eretz Yisrael was that it was too ruchani, that it was too holy for them. And they were scared of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. And these are six contradicting ma'amarim. Do you all see what's going on? I remember the last opinion. It reminds me there that Tzelem HaRebbe, he's a distant relative of mine on my mother's side, that Tzelem HaRebbe, he was killed in the Holocaust, the one during World War II. He was actually in Eretz Yisrael. And after 3 days, he left. And his Hasidim asked him, how could you leave Eretz Yisrael? Once you were there, why didn't you stay? And the Tzelem HaRebbe answered, he said, can you imagine what it is to live, to eat, to sleep, for 3 days in an Aron Kodesh? It was too holy for me. And it blew me away. And I'm not holy enough to live in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And that, according to the Zohar, is Chet HaMeraglim. You know, it's the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, also had a, not the one who's still alive, the one who, the Riatz, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was a very strong anti-Zionist. He changed a little after he met Rav Kook. Rav Kook, Davka, was the one who got him out of Russia. It's interesting. Anybody who wants to see an interesting story, you can see the story. And he wrote a booklet against Zionism. And he writes in the booklet, he says, people are going on Aliyah, and they're building kibbutzim, and they're building moshavim, and they're building cities, and you're not supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael to plant trees or to build kibbutzim. You're supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael to build yeshivot. That was what the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote in his anti-Zionist publication. The Chavetz Chaim got a copy of the Choveret, The Lubavitcher Rebbe sent him a copy. And the Chafetz Chaim had a son, Reb Aryeh Leib, who was a Mizrahi. And he was a Zionist. And he saw the Choveret, and he asked the Chafetz Chaim, what's your opinion of what the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote? Is it really wrong to go on Aliyah to build kibbutzim, and you're just supposed to go just to build yeshivot? And the Chafetz Chaim, who, as you all know, was very careful not to say negative things, he answered his son, "Nu, chaval shu cholek al Yeshayahu. It's a shame that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is contradicting Yeshayahu Hanavi. Hare Yeshayahu Hanavi writes, 'Uvanu arim neshamot v'yashavu.' We will come to Eretz Yisrael after a long galut, and we will build the cities. V'natu kramim, we will plant vineyards. V'shatu et yenam. V'natu ganim, we will plant vegetable gardens. V'achlu et priam. There's nothing wrong with planting the trees in Eretz Yisrael. And Chevra, this is the answer. What is the answer? Why does everybody have a problem with Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? It's because the key to the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is exactly this harmony. And most people don't understand it. What do I mean? Chevra, I mentioned six conflicting midrashim. Apparently, there are two different mahalachim. One midrash says that the meraglim were tzaddikim. According to that midrash that says that they were tzaddikim, their problem with Eretz Yisrael was that it was too physical. It was too gashmi. They wanted the holy kolel of the desert, where you don't have to work for a living, and you don't have to go to the army. And Eretz Yisrael, they were worried it was too physical for them. According to this, who brought the fruit? It was the 10 spies who brought the fruit. They wanted to show the Am Yisrael, look at these monstrous, giant fruits. It is such a gashmi, such a physical land, we're going to lose our spirituality. Davka, because they were tzaddikim. On the other hand, the other three midrashim is a second type of people. According to the second mahalach, the meraglim were rishaim. And accordingly, what was their problem with Eretz Yisrael? Not that it was too gashmi, but it was too spiritual. And they didn't want the spirituality of Eretz Yisrael. And according to that, who brought the fruit? That's the midrash that says that just Yoshua and Kalev brought the fruit. Because they wanted to show the meraglim, you're saying that Eretz Yisrael is just holy? Look at this fruit. It's also gashmi. It's also physically great. And that is the secret of Eretz Yisrael. The secret of Eretz Yisrael is that it is also Eretz and it's also HaKodesh. It's the holy land. It's both spiritual and physical, where the fruit is holy, and the rocks are holy, and the buildings are holy, and our language, Lashon HaKodesh, is holy. And the money, what does the Torah call the Shekel, Shekel HaKodesh? That's holy. And walking 4 steps in Eretz Yisrael is holy. Working the land in Eretz Yisrael is holy. Even the secular in Eretz Yisrael is holy. And if so, the spiritual and the physical harmonize together. Now, what is the problem that most people had over the generations with Eretz Yisrael? Most people see things as black and white. Either it's good or it's bad. Either it's spiritual or it's physical. And they miss the boat. If you think that it's either or, you're not understanding what Eretz Yisrael is about. And by the way, from my experience with most of the Charedim who live in Borough Park in Williamsburg, if you ask them, why don't they make Aliyah? First of all, they'll say, What do you mean? Aliyah is for the tzionim. That's for the non-religious. Right? Anybody ever hear that? And not only that, they say, what do you mean? I feel more religious in New York. And Eretz Yisrael will bring me down spiritually. On the other hand, I remember when I was on Shlichut, I taught in a Sunday school. You know, these Hebrew schools where the kids learn on Sunday to get their bar mitzvah. And they really were not at all interested in Shabbat or Kashrut or anything that I wanted to teach them. But I saw that they were interested, and when I told them stories about the Israeli army, etc. So at the end of the year, I asked them, anybody here thinking of living in Israel? And one of the students, I still remember his name, Jason says to me, "Your rabbi, you forgot, we ain't religious. What are we going to do in the Holy Land?" You see that? The non-religious say the Holy Land is for the religious. The religious say that Eretz Yisrael, Zionism, is for the non-religious. It's for the farmers. And Eretz Yisrael falls in between the seats because it does make a difference who you are. You have a problem with Eretz Yisrael if you focus on that which you don't like. Do you all see that? If somebody wants spirituality, he says, no, Eretz Yisrael, that's too physical for me. And if somebody who wants something physical, he says, Eretz Yisrael, no, that's too holy for me. But that's the whole secret of Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who doesn't understand the secret of Eretz Yisrael really is not going to make Aliyah. And his punishment is the punishment of the Meraglim, that he's not going to make Aliyah. It's like in Chassidut, they say, what is the punishment of somebody who doesn't observe Shabbat? He's missing out on the greatest day of the week. He's missing out on Shabbat. Somebody who doesn't observe Tarat HaMishpacha is missing out on the benefit of Tarat HaMishpacha. And somebody who doesn't want Eretz Yisrael, he's missing out on Eretz Yisrael. And you know, it's interesting. Who were the two spies who did understand the harmony? Sound like Rav Kook, harmony? Kalev from Shevet Yehuda and Yehoshua bin Nun from Shevet Ephraim. Shevet Ephraim is Mashiach ben Yosef. Shevet Yehuda, that is Mashiach ben David. The Mashiachim who combine the physical and the spiritual, that is the key to Eretz Yisrael. To summarize, did you all understand? The reason why people have such a problem with Eretz Yisrael is davka because of the secret of Eretz Yisrael. That the physical is spiritual, and that the spiritual is physical, and you don't have to choose either or. And that is religious Zionism in a nutshell. I'll finish off with a beautiful, beautiful explanation of Rav Kook. On Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. You all know that the land of Israel is called the land of milk and honey. Why milk and honey? So there are a lot of explanations. But it's actually Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook who said that the Gemara Masechet Chulin says that there are two foods which logically should not be kosher. Rina, you hear me? Disappeared. Oh. There are two foods which are logically shouldn't be kosher. One is chalav and the other is dvash. According to logic, honey is something that comes from a bee. And the bee, after it puts in a certain enzyme, there's a klal in kashrut, is ayotse mina tameh tameh. If something is not kosher, you just like you can't eat pigs, you can't drink pig's milk. So too, if you can't eat bees, why are we allowed to eat honey? Answers the Gemara, Masechet Chulin, it's an exception. The same thing with milk. What is milk? Milk is made of the liquids in a woman's body, which at one point were blood, and then that blood turns into milk. So why are we allowed to drink milk? It shouldn't be kosher. How are babies allowed to drink from their mother? Answers the Gemara, the same thing. both chalav and dvash are things that you would have thought are tamei, but they are tohor, they're kosher. That is Eretz Yisrael. It is called the land of milk and honey because when people look at first view, they think it's just physical. What's the difference if to my spirituality, if I'm living in these borders or if I'm living in New York? What's the difference? It's the same God. It's the same spirituality. I'm saying the same Shemona Esrei. And that's exactly what they don't understand. They don't understand that the Holy Land is holy. Why are most of the mitzvot tluyot ba'aretz? It's not that the aretz is tluya ba'mitzvot. But the mitzvot are tluyot ba'aretz. Most of the mitzvot were given davka to be done in Eretz Yisrael because it has that inherent kedusha and that everything there is holy. And even if you can't do the mitzvot there, like Yaakov and Yosef, they ask at least to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it is inherently holy. Even to be buried there is holy. And that is the secret of Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, I know the girls in our midrasha, many, if not all of them, are planning on making aliyah. And you know what? I'm going to let you in on a secret. I bet you people don't even realize that by the end of your lives, all of you are going to be living in Israel. If you look statistically, the future of the Jewish people is in the land of Israel. It's the Torah center of the world. Already 2/3 of the religious people live here. All the top yeshivot are here. All the top gedolim are here. And with the cost of Jewish education in Chutz Laretz, and the strongest members of the Jewish communities in America, they're making aliyah. And that's what's called in statistics the snowball effect. As soon as a phenomena begins, the snowball picks up inertia, and it's just gonna... Anyway, mark my words and tell all your friends, I have no doubt that all of you, within your lifetime, by the age of 60, 70, all of you are going to be in Israel. Just, it's going to be a lot easier if you come at a younger age. First of all, it'll be easier to find a job. Imagine if 12 million Jews come all in one shot. It'll be easier to find an apartment. It's easier to learn the language. And you know what? Parents won't have to choose between the sibling who's living in America and the sibling who's living in Israel. As soon as you decide, I'm going to make aliyah, you're influencing your siblings also to make the move. And if you remember, I pointed out the Rivash once. The Rivash says that living in Eretz Yisrael is the only mitzvah that has ramifications even 500 years from now. Or to put it in other words, every single Jew who's going to be around in Yemot HaMashiach is going to have had one great-great-great-grandmother who had the guts to make aliyah. And it could be you. It probably will be you. Dina, put on a smile. It's not so bad. It's not as bad as people over the generations thought. It's a great place. Chevra, lehitraot ba'aretz.